Today we'll start in the book of Acts in chapter 4. We've been doing topical messages related to different things in our life and looking at how these different topics relate to the church, which would include our individual Christian lives, but also thinking about the role that the church has. And today we're going to talk about the topic of education and the church. Many of us spend a lot of time either at work or in school. Education has a huge influence on our culture and in the church. In the past, we've had messages on the topic of work and employment. Today, we're going to focus on the topic of education and how it relates to the church for us individually and as local churches. And we'll look at how education affects our spiritual growth and our overall theological understanding as Christians and as churches, and how education influences us in the workplace and in our interactions with one another and in our witness as believers. And on that note, our title is as follows: Wisdom, Witnessing, and Walking with Jesus. We're going to focus on various forms of formal and informal education, including school, vocational school, college, as well as informal education that we get in life. It might be on-the-job training, might be through various organizations and so forth. And to start with, we're going to look at one verse in the book of Acts, here in chapter 4, about Peter and John. And in the context, Jesus has risen from the dead, he's ascended up to heaven, the apostles have been preaching the gospel, and miracles have been happening. And a lame man has been healed, and Peter and John are preaching that Jesus has risen from the dead, and it's in the power of his name that this miracle has taken place. And the Sadducees, a group of religious leaders, don't like this. They're threatened by the crowds, and also they didn't believe in the resurrection. And with that in mind, let's look at verse 13. So what? And also with that, Peter and John, they had them arrested, and then all the religious leaders gathered to examine them after they'd been arrested, the scribes and the elders and so forth. And here's what Luke writes, talking about the religious leaders. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Let's pray. We praise you, Jesus, the one who came and walked here on earth and invested your life in the lives of your disciples and commanded them to make disciples, which is part of why we're here today. We pray that we would be a people that walks with you like Peter and John did while you were on earth and after you ascended. We pray that you would give us wisdom, that we would be effective witnesses, and that we would understand how the blessing of education should serve to that end and not our own glory. May we have a biblical view of education, formal and informal, and how it can give you glory and grow us as Christians and bless us in whatever jobs we might have or gifts that we might have. Thank you for minds that you've given us that we can love you with all our mind and to think critically and deeply. So we lift up this topic to you and pray, Father, that as we think about it and as we look at different scriptures, that you would guide us accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Two main points. Here's the first one: embrace a biblical view of education. A lot of us spend a lot of time with education, especially as kids. So if it's a bad thing, then we should just stop. But I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing in general. It can become a bad thing. But so it's something that is we spend a lot of time at, and sometimes not just as kids, even as adults. Hopefully we have a biblical view of it. So I'm going to try to address a couple key principles about education, and then we'll look at some application points about what to do with it. And there's many passages in Scripture that relate directly or indirectly to the topic of education, like the verse we just read. And education can be something that's formal or informal. There was formal education with the religious leaders in the day of Jesus and so forth. It can be theological. It can be vocational, related to our work. It can relate to talents like music and sports and so forth. And some of the biblical principles or themes related to education are implied without being stated. For example, being trained in the Scriptures. Paul says that Timothy knew the Scriptures from infancy. Well, that implies that someone knows how to read and someone can teach people the Scriptures and so forth. The Word of God was not only spoken, it was to be written down, which implied some people knew how to read and write. So some of the things that are emphasized in Scripture imply that there's education behind what's going on and what's commanded. Also, some of what Proverbs teaches us about wisdom implies that young people are being educated by their parents and by others to devote themselves to learn God's Word and to live wisely, not foolishly, and so forth. And also, to be effective in our jobs, we usually need some type of education. It might be informal or on-the-job training. But in order to do the best that we can, we need training. And down through church history, the church has oftentimes had a leading role in various realms of education, like with building hospitals and schools, or in the literature, or in the sciences, and so forth. And we're called to be salt of the earth and light of the world in whatever realms of employment and that we work and the places God puts us, and education can help with all that. So, a few biblical principles here about a biblical view of education. And I'll start with this one. Walk with Jesus. He transforms us through and regardless of our education. Part of the focus of the sermon is emphasizing the importance and the blessing of formal and informal education. But before we embrace the blessings of education, let's make sure that the foundation is right. The foundation of our lives, where we're walking with Jesus. We have a Christ-centeredness about who we are. And as we'll see in the sermon, Jesus transforms us in part by using the understanding and the insights we have from education. And he also transforms us regardless of our education. Some of us haven't received much formal education compared to others. And that doesn't mean that we are any less in the kingdom of God. Some of us have received a lot of education, and amidst its blessings, if we have a wrong view of that education, it can actually hinder us in our walk with Jesus. So I want to start with a very basic point. Let's make sure, as we think about education, which I think is important and what a lot of us give our attention to and what is implied and sometimes taught in Scripture, let's make sure the starting point is right. We are walking with Jesus. And I've chosen a passage here that emphasizes that Peter and John were two men who had walked with Jesus, literally, while he was here on earth, and they continued walking with Jesus spiritually after he ascended to heaven. And these were two disciples who, unlike the religious leaders of their day, had not been educated in a formal setting as rabbis or teachers. But their understanding of the Scriptures and their boldness about what they believed astonished the educated elite who were upset at them. Notice again verse 13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they, meaning Peter and John, had been with Jesus. Have we spent time with Jesus? Are we walking with Jesus? Peter and John had been with Jesus. And it's evident from the book of Acts that just now that Jesus had ascended to heaven, they kept walking with Jesus. They were uneducated common men, Luke writes. Bible scholars tell us that those Greek words there refer to a Hebrew phrase that means people who were not formally trained, and they were lay people. They were uneducated. Didn't mean that they couldn't read or write in this context, but they had not been trained like the rabbis. They were uneducated and they were common. They were a lay person, like many of us in the church. Perhaps we've not had a formal biblical theological training. We may not be a church leader, but we're a lay person. In this, compared to the religious leaders, Peter and John were uneducated common men. Ironically, even though they'd not been formally educated, like the religious leaders of their day, Peter and John greatly astonished the religious leaders who had been educated and who had arrested them and were now interrogating them. And why were Peter and John so impressive? They'd walked with Jesus. They'd spent time with him, the carpenter's son, who himself had not had a formal education. We read in John chapter 17, John 7, verse 14. John writes, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. The Jews therefore marveled, saying, how is it that this man has learning, talking about Jesus, when he never studied? So Jesus answered them, my teaching is not my own, but his who sent me. Jesus himself was not formally trained. He hadn't studied in a formal sense. But the Father had given him wisdom, plus he's God the Son. Now here in Acts 4:13, this verse could be used as a way to slam and undermine education in general, or biblical and theological education. And sometimes Christians can do this. They'll have a condescending view about education in general or theological training. But while that needs to be rebuked, let us make sure that our starting point is still correct. Are we walking with Jesus? Education's important to whatever degree God calls us to get educated, and that's different for different people. But let's make sure our starting point is we're walking with Jesus. Let's be like Mary, the sister of Martha, where it seems like every time we find her in Scripture, she's at Jesus' feet. Let's walk with Jesus. Let's spend time with him. If you're a young person and you have the blessing of being in school or in college or studying hard, make sure priority number one stays your main focus. Walk with Jesus. Be like Peter and John. And if you're an adult and maybe you've never had much formal education, or maybe you're a young person and compared to other people around you, maybe you're not the smartest person in the room or whatever, be encouraged. God's life-transforming power flows through us as we walk with Jesus. And Jesus transforms us through our education and regardless of our education. Peter and John, uneducated common men, but they walked with Jesus. Are you walking with Jesus? Next key principle. Seek and appreciate Christ-centered diversity. God uses people with all kinds of educational backgrounds. A Christ-centered diversity within the church is good, pertaining to a lot of topics. Here we're thinking about education. Peter and John were common, uneducated men. The Apostle Paul was not. He was a Pharisee trained in the law. And God chose a well-educated man of the Old Testament scriptures to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul was very different than Peter and John in this sense. But without God's revelation and grace, Paul's training was useless. In fact, until God opened his eyes, Paul's training had led him in his sin to actually persecute Christians and have them arrested and killed. But God used Paul, and he used his theological education background, and then once he became a Christian, and God used that along with the revelation that he gave him. Also with Moses, perhaps you've seen this in Acts chapter 7. Before God called and raised up Moses to lead his people out of Egyptian slavery, the Lord gave Moses an education through the Egyptians. Stephen in his sermon says in Acts 7, Moses was born, brought up for 3 months in his father's house, and when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son when she came down to the river and saw him there in the basket. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. And God prepared him in part through that. Perhaps you've seen with the prophet Daniel in Daniel chapter 1, where Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they are taken into Babylonian captivity. And the king has those that are brought into his house get trained with a Babylonian education. And God used that to prepare Daniel to be the prophet to the people, that he would be amidst the people he'd be prophesying among. God uses people from various educational backgrounds for his kingdom and glory. Let's seek and appreciate a Christ-centered diversity in the church, where we value believers who come from a wide range of educational backgrounds and who will choose different educational paths. Within our church and in the broader Christian community, some people have been homeschooled. Some people have gone to public school or private school. Some go on to college. Some don't. Some go to college later in life. Some Christians, regardless of their vocation, choose to go to a Christian or a Bible college. Others don't. Some church leaders and pastors have been trained in seminary and even go for doctoral degrees. Some pastors, especially around the world, haven't had any formal theological training. Different churches have different standards for their pastors. Back around 2001 and 2002, there was a church in Round Lake called Lake Region Bible Church. And they ended up with a pastor, and that pastor, when he was reading through the requirements, read that the church was looking for someone who had a bachelor's degree was required, a master's degree was preferred, but they weren't going to limit it to that. Some churches would say you got to have a graduate level or seminary degree. There's different approaches that churches have. Sometimes I feel inferior depending on what context I'm hanging around. If I'm in a group with a lot of other pastors who are here in the U.S., I'm usually one of the undereducated ones because most pastors have a seminary degree. I don't. I went to college. I went to grad school, but I did not get a full seminary degree. I'm a two-time Wheaton graduate and a two-time Trinity dropout. So after we came here, I started taking classes at Trinity twice, and the church's generosity was paying for the classes I was taking, and twice we ran out of money to do it. So I'm kind of, as far as a pastor in the U.S., I'm kind of in between settings. We have an elder in our church who just after about 16 years got his bachelor's degree in biblical studies and has blessed us with his training. We have a young adult who's about to go to law school. We have another adult a little bit older who just finished her degree in nursing. People choose different approaches. Some people who are working full-time haven't gone to college. Maybe they got on-the-job training. Maybe they got vocational training and so forth. And God has different plans for different people. Let us be a church that appreciates the Christ-centered diversity of people, whatever our educational background may be. And make sure that we keep the main focus, which was the first principle of walking with Jesus, priority, and then using whatever educational opportunities we have to our benefit. And also let me just say, when it comes to theological training and so forth, there's a lot of great groups out there that can help us, even if it's not in a formal way. The Free Church has a ministry called Gateway that's helping train leaders, especially in the Spanish language, who may not have been able to go to college and who are going to be church leaders. We also pray for Keith and Judy Anderson, who work with Latin America Training Network and ProMeta, and help train pastors in the Spanish language through the internet who aren't able to go get training and so forth. There's also things like the Mailbox Club with CEF, or I think Moody, too, offers things where people who aren't going to get a formal degree, but they want some more teaching along with whatever they're getting at the church. So, let us seek and appreciate a Christ-centered diversity, regardless of our education, and that there should let us have mutual respect and appreciation for those who've gone a different route than us. Homeschooled, public schooled, college or in the trades, formal biblical and theological training, and informal and so forth. One other principle. Be humble and on guard. Don't be arrogant in your ignorance and don't get educated beyond your intelligence. And here I'm borrowing from a phrase from a man named Gene Warr, who's an Oklahoma Christian businessman. And he's kind of blunt and that phrase kind of says it that way. So I'll come to that phrase here in a minute. But as we're thinking about education, whether we've had a lot of formal education or not, whether we've been informally trained or on-the-job training, vocational training, whether our trainings mostly come from at home, maybe we'll get training later on, along with keeping our focus on walking with Jesus like Peter and John here in Acts 4, who are uneducated, common men compared to the rabbis, but they walked with Jesus. And while we have a Christ-centered appreciation and seek a Christ-centered diversity amidst the different educational backgrounds that each of us have, let's all of us be humble and on guard. In all areas of life, we need humility, and we need to be on guard, especially when it comes to something like education. Because ironically, we can easily get arrogant on one extreme or the other. Some people take pride in the fact that they haven't gone to college or they haven't had any formal biblical or theological training. The Holy Spirit will teach me what I need to know. I don't need any formal training, or I don't need to learn from those who've had it. And those who go to college or other academic purposes, they're spoiled elite people, and they're pursuing worldly wisdom and for worldly gain and so forth. We don't want that attitude. Even though sometimes that is true. People in their education pursuits, it's for their own glory, it's for worldly wisdom and so forth. But Paul says in Philippians 2, in humility, consider others better than yourselves. So on the one hand, some who have been formally trained in higher education, they're arrogant because of it. We can be prideful. We're prideful because we're sinners. And our pride will manifest in part based on whatever our life experiences have been and whatever our backgrounds entail. You can be prideful because of your ignorance, what you don't know. You can be prideful because of your great intellect or your educational accomplishments. So let's be on guard. Whether we have a lot of education formally or not, regardless of what our intelligence level might be, let's be humble and on guard. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 rebukes the wisdom of this world and calls for the wisdom that comes with embracing a crucified Messiah who's risen from the dead. If God has called you or already given you an education, use it for His glory and for His kingdom and be humble about it. Whether that would be in the realm of finances or medicine or teaching, as volunteers in your community, as parents, as lay people in the church, whatever your educational level is, whatever training you've received, formal or informal, use it for His kingdom and His glory. And view yourself and your education and your accomplishments with a humble heart and with your eyes fixed on Jesus, the crucified Messiah. Let's not be arrogant about our ignorance. Let's appreciate those who might be more intelligent than us or have more training than us or more education than us. But also, let's not, in the words of Gene Ward, get educated beyond our intelligence. And there, Gene Ward is a Christian Oklahoma businessman who I've shared in the past. You might remember this story. He's a man who, I forgot to look it up, but the Psalms were, the psalmist says, the Lord teaches us to number our days, and He'll give us 70 years or 80 if more grace prevails. So when he turned 60, he started counting down the number of days he had till he turned 70. His wife didn't necessarily like that, but so that would be roughly 10 years times 365, and there's some leap years in there, so a little over 3,600 days. He started counting down. And then they said, well, and he actually lived past 70. He died, I think, in 2006. I think he was born in 1946. So someone do the math for me on that. I meant to do that. But how old did he live to be?
Jonas got it.
Yeah.
Do we have not any math teachers or math? We need some more education here and there.
We have those figures again.
Anyways, I think that'd be 80. Yeah. When he got to the age of 70, he then started counting up, numbering the days of grace that he experienced. So, anyways, I shared that story before. That's kind of cool. But he also had this quote, and I don't know what education level he had. I did meet him once, and when I was in grad school in our evangelism program, some of us got to go to Russia. It was sponsored to the Billy Graham Organization, and Gene Ward was one of the people who underwrited the expenses. And he was this great, you know, joyful person, but very blunt personality, Oklahoma personality. And, so he'd say, don't get educated beyond your intelligence. And meaning that sometimes, you know, this pursuit of education and degrees and so forth goes beyond the wisdom that we have. So let's not be arrogant about our ignorance, but also let's not get educated beyond our intelligence. Let's make sure whatever education we have or we're pursuing, it's so that we would have biblical wisdom, not just worldly wisdom and so forth. Let's be humble, let's be on guard. And there's a danger in the church and for Christians when we embrace an arrogance and a condescending view of those who are educated, as well as those who are educated getting arrogant about their education. Main point number two. Seek the blessings of education. We started with a verse that might seem to contradict this second main point. Why should we seek the blessings of education if Peter and John were uneducated common men and that's who God used? Well, first of all, because just because they were uneducated common, that meant they were not formally trained like the rabbis. That didn't mean they didn't have any sense of any type of education. Also, as I've already referenced, there's people that God used in the scriptures who did have lots of education. So the point is not what education do we do or don't have, but how are we using it? And are we seeking to be blessed by those who have different life experiences and education than we are? And if the godly apostles Peter and John were uneducated common men, but the apostle Paul and Daniel and Moses were educated men, we see that there's a diversity even within Scripture. And we can just look around us and see how we're blessed by people today with different educational backgrounds and so forth. So here I want to talk about whatever education we have or we might get, let's use it, let's seek the blessing of it for the right reasons. And among others, the right reasons would be those principles we looked at, so that we're walking with Jesus, so that we have a Christ-centered diversity and unity, and that we have humility and we're on guard against pride in any direction. But here's some things we can do as we seek the blessings of education. First, to know the Word. The highly educated religious leaders here in Acts 4 were astonished by the uneducated apostles Peter and John. But Peter and John's lack of formal education doesn't mean that they didn't have some type of informal education. And in fact, they had, in one sense, the best education. They'd walked with Jesus for 3 years and were discipled by him. But also, in those days, when you're reading the New Testament, you're reading about a church and teachings that took place in the days of the Jewish people in the first century, many of whom were not literate, could not read and write, but who nevertheless, amidst their oral tradition, put a heavy emphasis on the written word of God. So even though many of them could not read or write, the written word of God was a priority among the Jews and takes priority in the New Testament church. In fact, when, for example, with Paul's letters, and sometimes he would talk about having his letter read, and so that gives you the understanding that when the church would gather, one of the things that was done is that the Word of God, along with the New Testament letters that were being written, were read, which implies some people knew how to read and had been trained and so forth. But whether we have a formal or informal education, the intellectual understanding that we have, let's use it to study the Word of God. Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Part of the way that happens is by you and I learning how to read and to write and so forth, and to think critically and to think deeply, and hopefully that some of us are also getting some biblical and theological training to help the rest of us in certain ways, even as we all learn from one another. And with that, let me also just say, add a few words of appreciation for those within the church who have gone on to get biblical and theological education. And that's not going to be the call for most Christians, aren't going to have the money or the time for that, but we need some that are doing that. And for some basic reasons, if you're a Christian, you probably would acknowledge, to whatever degree you read the Bible, that that's something we should do. Well, when you read the Bible, what language are you reading it in? Are you reading it in the Greek and the Hebrew? Probably not. Well, someone had to translate that for you. Also, when with pastors and church leaders and so forth, getting some of this theological training that helps us understand the context of what's going on in the Old Testament and the New Testament days is a blessing. Let me put that another way. When Luke says that Peter and John were uneducated common men, that doesn't mean that they hadn't been trained in the Scriptures. And when someone like Mike goes to Moody Bible College and gets a biblical studies degree, part of what he's learning is getting trained in the culture and the time periods of the New Testament or the Old Testament days, so that part of our formal education today is helping us get closer to the point that Peter and John were at without formal education. One, because they lived during that time period. Two, because they walked with Jesus. And three, because Many of them, raised in God-fearing Jewish homes, had been well-versed in the Old Testament scriptures. So when church leaders and pastors go and get a Bible degree or a theological degree, and we read that Peter and John were uneducated common men, those two things are not in contrast. They actually go hand in hand. One thing formal theological training does is help us get to the point that Peter and John were at without formal education. It's a blessing. So part of the reason we want to seek the blessing of education is so that whether we're formally trained or not, we are studying the Word of God. Let me just give one other example, and then I'll move on. These uneducated common men, some of whom God used to write the scriptures, had a masterful understanding of the scriptures. And that's something that our education can help us with. When you read, for example, the book of 1 Peter, or you read Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, or you read the book of Mark that was probably written by John Mark, who was influenced by Peter's preaching, uneducated common Peter, it's quite evident that he was well-versed in the scriptures. This, for example, the way the book of Mark is written, it shows us how Jesus, among other things, is similar to Yahweh in the Old Testament. He's the faithful servant in the wilderness. He's the teacher on the mountain. He is the Lord over the demons in the sea, like the Lord is Yahweh's Lord over the sea in the Old Testament. He's the healer of the sick and the dead. He's the shepherd of the lost sheep that Yahweh was to Israel. And just the way you read through this and you stand back and you look at it, you're like, how could someone who's common and uneducated write with such brilliance and insight? Ultimately, it was from the revelation of the Holy Spirit, but God used the human understanding of the authors in what they wrote. And part of that was that they were well-versed in the scriptures. And education can help with that. Here's another thing. Seek the blessings of education to walk in wisdom. The book of Proverbs, among other places in Scripture, calls us to seek wisdom. One thing education can help in general is being wise. Now, there's a danger, which I addressed. We can get arrogant and prideful about our education or our intelligence, whatever form of education that is, which then actually leads to being blind and not wise. But education, generally speaking, formal and informal, it teaches us, it grows us, it helps us to think critically, and if we're a Christian and we're using our education in a biblical sense, it'll help us seek to live a wise life. In Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs scripture says, "My son, if you receive my words, and if you call out for insight, and if you seek it, then you will have understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." One thing education can do is help us in seeking to be people who are wise. And again, that education might be informal, that we get from our parents, that we get through discipleship and so forth in the church. But also, if you're someone who you study various academic fields and so forth, if we're applying ourselves with the right focus on Jesus, then the education that we're getting can help us think critically and so forth and walk in wisdom. Here's another thing education can help with. To excel in our work. God created us for different purposes, and one of which is to work. That can be at home, it can be for employment, it can be within the church. But work is something God gave us to do before the fall. You see that in Genesis chapter 2. God gave work to do to Adam. And in Genesis 1 it says that God, for the man and woman, he entrusted them to rule over the earth and so forth. God has created us to work. We see in the scriptures, Peter and John, when they were called, they were fishermen. The apostle Paul was a tent maker. We see many examples in which people were working. Education can help us with our work. God has called us to do work, and whether it's formal or informal education, it helps us excel in our work. So maybe we get vocational training at Lake County High School or CLC, or maybe we get on-the-job training or training at home or whatever. Maybe we go to college or grad school and so forth. Let's seek and appreciate a Christ-centered diversity among the different educational backgrounds that we have. But let us also seek to get the education that we can, formal or informal, so that we can do the best job that we can do at whatever our work may be. For some of us, that includes employment where we get paid. But for all of us, we have work that we can do. And getting trained in our various fields is a blessing if we use it for the right reasons. Let's also seek the blessings of education to be effective in our witness. Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 5, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Part of the way we live that out is through the work that God has given us to do and through the education that God gives us. We need Christian witnesses in the different areas of the workforce that are out there. Some jobs require formal education. We need some Christians getting formal education who are studying hard and excelling in their studies so they can be a witness wherever God has called them. We need Christian teachers and professors in the different academic fields. We need Christian doctors and bankers and lawyers and engineers. We need Christians who get trained in the languages and so forth for theology and scripture translation. And some jobs don't require college or grad school, but they might require on-the-job training or vocational training. We need believers who are working in the trades and so forth, who are applying themselves and using the training that they're getting to be the best that they can be in whatever they do, so that their work is done to the glory of God and opens up a door for our Christian witness. Because if we're being lazy or prideful or neglectful, or we're not really good at what we're doing and we aren't trying, then that's not a good witness. Now, sometimes we have to make a change in life. Sometimes God calls us, he puts us in a situation where we're like, hey, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. Sometimes God uses us in ways that we wouldn't have expected. There's been many times in my life where I'm thinking, I don't know, I'm not cut out for this. I'm not gifted for this. I got the wrong personality for this. So we don't always know we're on a journey. But what we want to do is use what we have to the best of our ability to be a witness for Christ. And I'll end on this note. Let's seek the blessings of education to mature in Christ while we wait. Waiting for Jesus to come back. We see in Matthew 24, we see in Mark 13, we see in 2 Peter 3, we see in the book of Revelation. We are waiting for Jesus to come back. It's not a passive waiting. We're called to work. We're called to witness. We're called to watch, to be on guard. But one of the things education can do is help us mature as the body of Christ. As we love God with our mind, as we learn to think critically, as we get trained in different things, whether it's to serve in the church, to serve at home, to serve in the workplace, to serve in a community organization, whatever it might be, so that we can be effective witnesses, so that we can do all that God has given us to do for his glory and so forth. May we seek the blessings of education so that we can study the Word of God effectively, so that we can walk in wisdom, so that we can excel in our work, so that we're effective in our witness, and that we mature in Christ while we wait. And as we go through all of this, let's make sure priority number one is we're walking with Jesus like Peter and John did. Let's have an appreciation amidst the Christ-centered diversity within our church and other Christians who have different educational backgrounds and experiences, formal and informal. Let's have humility and be on guard. And to whatever degree God has given us an opportunity to be trained, whether in college or vocational school, trained at home, trained on the job, let's use all of it for his kingdom and glory. Let's pray.